الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، العقيدة الواسطية لشيخ الإسلام بن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى. We are discussing, or we have been discussing, the concept of the punishment and the delight of the grave. And we call this life Hayatul Barzakh, the interval, or the life in between, if you may call it. It's a life, but not like this life. Because people are alive. People will be alive in the sense that they are alive in the Barzakh. But to the dunya, they are dead. They are among the amwat. But maut, يعني, like for in the case of the animals, eventually there will be no accountability for the animals. They will be brought together, as it comes in some of the narrations, and the sheep or one of the animals which had a horn, which had harmed another one which didn't have a horn, it will take back its right from that animal. Even animals will, for justice to be established, and then they will become turab. They will be turned to dust, to dirt, and there will be no Jannah and no Jahannam for the animals. So their death is you can say eternal. It's mortal. Human being, it's a relevant kind of death, because you will never really die all the way. You will die, but then you live in the Barzakh, and then you will live either eternally in Jannah or eternally in Jahannam, or sometime in Jahannam, then eternally in Jannah. And that's a living. لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. So neither dead, neither alive. It's not really a good life, that's why. على كل حال, we were discussing this concept concerning the discussion or concerning the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah about whether the punishment, whether it affects the body or the soul, or the body and the soul. And the Shaykh said, وقوله إما نعيم وإما عذاب. The fact that the grave will be either delight or punishment. فيه إثبات النعيم والعذاب في القبر. We prove or we affirm from that the belief or the existence of عذاب and delight. وقد دل على ذلك كتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم بل لنا أن نقول وإجماع المسلمين. And this has been clearly indicated in the Quran, the Book of Allah, and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and we may even say the consensus of the Muslims, because we will see those who really deviated, their deviance or their change is irrelevant and unimportant, because they're insignificant themselves. أَمَّا مِن كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. As for the evidence in the Book of Allah that there's something in that grave, that there will be something in the grave. فَالثَّلَاثَةُ أَصْنَافُ التي في آخر الواقعة ظاهرة في ثبوت عذاب القبر ونعيمه. The three categories of people that are mentioned at the end of Surah Al-Waqi'ah, huh, are evident and clear in proving the fact that there will be either delight or punishment in the grave. And in case you have read once in your life that whoever recites Surah Al-Waqi'ah every day, he will never see poverty. You've heard that before? That's a weak narration. Excellent. That's a weak narration, and you may not act upon it. You may not act upon it on the madhab that the hadith al-da'if la yu'mal bihi, la bil-fada'il wa la bi-ghayrihi. Because the scholars have differed. Some of them say you may act upon a weak narration in fi bab al-fada'il, virtues, يعني the reward was something, but they make two conditions. First, that this hadith is not very weak, and that it doesn't contradict another authentic narration, and of course, obviously, it has to be in fada'il. That's one position of the ulama. The other position is, if it's da'if, if it's weak narration, that means we cannot genuinely, authentically attribute it back to the Prophet ﷺ, then you cannot say the Messenger of Allah said, then you just don't act upon it. And you know, you kind of lean towards that position of safety. So you don't recite Surah Al-Waqi'ah, because I used to recite it every day of my life. until my mother told me, until not, my mother the one who told me to recite it, until I found out that the hadith is da'if. And I don't do it anymore. And the shaitan will tell you, but akhi, you were doing good, mashallah, every day Surah Al-Waqi'ah, mashallah, how many pages is that? Ajr kathir. No, that's not how you think. Because you're dealing with Allah. You're dealing with Allah. You're not dealing with a businessman. You're leaving it for the sake of Allah. It's a win-win situation. Don't think this way. It's not like Allah will take away something for you trying to act upon His deen. You see what I'm saying? The only reason why you don't read it anymore is because you're trying to follow the sunnah, not because you're lazy. If you were lazy, you'll say, yeah, you're missing out. But if you say, okay, this is da'if, khalas, then inshallah, you're winning. You're winning. Well, because man taraka shay'an lillah, awadahu khayran min. Whenever you leave something for the sake of Allah, He will give you better in return. You have to have that iman, that yaqeen in this matter. And there are many other weak narrations concerning Surah Yaseen, and Surah Ar-Rahman, Arus Al-Quran, and what have you. These narrations, by the way, the one who fabricated them, he was confronted with the people of Hadith. And they said, well, you know, why did you do this? He said, I saw that the people were abandoning the Book of Allah. So I thought I would come up with something that will bring the people back, reconnect them to the Quran. So he fabricated the narrations. Ajib. Good niyyah, but bad deed. It's not going to help. It's not going to help. And Prophet ﷺ said, you know, مَنْ كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَلْيَتَبَوَّ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. Whosoever lies deliberately against me, let him choose his place in the fire. Can't do that. Not with the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. Anyone else's speech, يَعْنِهَا. But the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, because that's wahi, that's revelation. So no more Surah Al-Waqi'ah for you. But we can hear some of it today. قال الله تعالى فلولا إذا بلغت الحلقوم وأنتم حينئذ تنظرون ونحن أقرب إليه منكم ولكن لا تبصرون. So why don't you then, and this is understood from the context, even though the wording doesn't say that. So why don't you then intervene after the soul has reached the throat? فلولا إذا بلغت الحلقوم. When the soul has reached the throat, why don't you intervene? Why don't you come? Why don't you get involved? وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ. And you at that stage, at that time, you're looking on. You're looking on to this person dying before you. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. However, we are closer to him than you are, but you do not see. And many of the ulama say this is the malaika. This is the malaika. فَلَوْلَا إِن كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ. Then if truly you had no reckoning, if you believe there will be no reckoning, no recompense, تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Return the soul if you are truthful. Bring it back. Can anyone, after the angel of death takes the soul, put the soul back in this person? No. So if you really believe, if you claim there's no qiyamah, there's no deen, there's no accountability, then return the soul to the deceased. فَأَمَّا إِنْ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ فَرَوْحٌ وَرَيْحَانٌ وَجَنَّةُ نَعِيمٌ. عَلَيْكُمْ سَلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. So verily, if he is among those who are near to Allah, مُقَرَّبِينَ, those who will be brought close to Allah, فَرَوْحٌ, rest, وَرَيْحَانٌ, and provision, وَجَنَّةُ نَعِيمٌ, and a garden of delight. وَأَمَّا إِنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينَ فَسَلَامٌ لَكَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينَ. And if he is among the companions of the right, then he shall have peace and safety from the companions of the right. وَأَمَّا إِنْ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ الضَّالِينَ فَنُزُلٌ مِنْ حَمِيمٍ وَتَصْلِيَةِ جَحِيمٍ. However, if he is among those who were the beliars, those who erred, those who were misled, misguided, astray, فَنُزُلُ مِنْ حَمِيمٍ, then he will have an entertainment of boiling water. Now notice that this is the sarcasm. Sarcasm, you know what sarcasm means. When you say something and you don't really mean it, you mean the opposite. So when, for example, someone is dumb, you say genius, you know, what a genius. And you really don't mean he's a genius, you mean he doesn't have. And this is used. Now because the kuffar, and you have to be very, you know, they used to mock the deen of Allah. They used to mock qiyamah. أَإِنَّا لَمَبْعُوثُونَ. You try to say that after we die, we're going to come back. أَإِنَّا لَمَدِينُونَ. We're going to be held accountable for this. عَمَّا يَتَسَأَلُونَ عَنِ النَّبَأِ الْعَظِيمِ الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ. They're differing, all these, they're mocking the deen of Allah. So now the mockery comes the sarcasm comes back from Allah. فنزل. Nuzul is the actual lovely, entertaining accommodation you receive when you visit a particular city or country. You get a hotel, 5 stars, and you got rivers and what have you, and all this, you know, waterfalls and nice room. This is your nuzul. It's actually, the connotation of the word is very positive. But look how Allah used it. فَنُزُلٌ مِنْ حَمِيمٍ. When you hear nuzul, you look forward to some reward. Hamim, boiling water. You see how it is? So they make fun, and then this is what they will get in return. So Allah uses terms which are usually used for praising something, for something that is positive in effect, and now it's being used to mock them. فَنُزُلٌ مِنْ حَمِيمٍ وَتَصْلِيَةُ جَحِيمٍ, and some burning in the hellfire. The Shaykh said, وَهَذَا أَمْرٌ مُشَاهَدٌ. This is something that is witnessed. يَسْمَعُ الْمُحْتَضِرُ يُرَحِّبْ بِالْقَادِمِينَ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. يُسْمَعُ الْمُحْتَضِرُ يُرَحِّبْ بِالْقَادِمِينَ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Sometimes those who are dying, they are seen welcoming the angels who are coming to take them. This happens. This happened among many people. Maybe, you know, we haven't been in that situation, but it has been narrated from many people that we trust that this actually happened. That some people at the time of death, you know, they go like this, and they said, you know, what are you getting? And they're trying to get some of the trees of Jannah. They're trying to pick out the fruit of Jannah. They already see Jannah, and they see the angels. وَيَقُولُ مَرْحَبًا وَأَحْيَانًا يَقُولُ مَرْحَبًا is the sunnah. So sometimes a person dying, they hear him say, مَرْحَبًا. Welcome! Not marhaba, the supermarket. Please. Super expensive, horrible customer service. I got in a fight with them a couple of times. They accused me of stealing a sheikh. Wallah, very bad. They made a big thing. I said, listen man, big deal man, in front of everyone. Said, I'm gonna steal. Why would I steal for some juice? For I bought a few of them and I've, yani, long story. Anyways, until today, I and Marhaba don't get along alone. And they really name negates the concept of the custom. Marhaba means welcome. And as soon as you come in, everything is like, everybody's just upset. And then the manhoosh used to be 2 riyals, it's like 4 or 5 riyals now. That's besides the point. Anyways, I'm not trying to support any supermarket. All of them have their issues. Marhaban, then, means what? Welcome. Hala. Yani, you're happy with them. So sometimes they hear the deceased or the one on the verge of death saying, welcome, sit here. And he's speaking to the malaika. كَمَا ذَكَرَهُ إِبْنُ الْقَيِّمِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ. If we haven't seen this because we may not have that many righteous people around, Ibn al-Qayyim رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ had mentioned that في كتاب الروح, in his book, The Soul. وَأَحْيَانًا يَحِسُّ بِأَنَّ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ أُصِيبَ بِشَيْءٍ مُخِيفٍ فَيَتَغَيَّرْ وَجْهُ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ إِذَا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِ مَلَائِكَةُ الْعَذَابُ وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And sometimes you see that this person suddenly becomes scared. And then this may be an indication that the angels of punishment have descended and we seek Allah's refuge. And I've seen on YouTube a few pictures of some of the people who died in the cause of Allah, the shuhada. And wallah, he has a huge grin on his face. He's dead already and the smile is like this on his face after he died. And one of them, they have him on YouTube dying. And he's saying his last words and the guy is already in Jannah. He's happy, he's having a good time, versus someone, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, who at that time comes, he becomes distressed and worried, and then, you know, he sees the angels of punishment and his face changes. Some of them, their face becomes black. You know, totally black. And when they try to bury them, they can see the people who do ghusl, ghasil al-amwat, they tell you stories, man, about people that they come across, yani, with the bad end, who died a bad death, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, their faces become black. Even though their skin tone may not be dark, they may be white in their skin tone, their faces particularly become black. And you see, as we'll see, the angels beat them up. The angels will beat them up. يَضْرِبُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ. They will beat the smack, smite their faces. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ صَلَّى عَفِيَا. And hey, we will all have our share. We will all have this moment. So don't think, yani, we're going to go away for too long. Every one of us, what we're speaking about now, and we will probably remember this at the time of death. So let us make the necessary preparation. Enough, you know, سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا. Enough of that. We hear and we disobey. Seems to be very common. But we need to kick it off. This is a bad habit. We need to do, we hear and we obey. Otherwise, this is what it's going to boil down to. You're going to be one of these two people. So we need to make the wise choice. Wallahu musta'an.
ومن أدلة القرآن قوله تعالى في آل فرعون النار يعرضون عليها غدوا وعشيا.
Among the evidences from the Quran is Allah's statement concerning Fir'aun, the fire to which they will be exposed or presented, غدوًا وعشية, in the morning and in the evening. When is that? Is that in Jahannam? There will be morning and evening in Jahannam? This is speaking about now. This is the punishment of the grave. What's the evidence? Look at the next ayah.
وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ أَدْخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ.
And then when the hour has been established, then admit آل فرعون to most severe of torments. The severest of torments. So look at the ayah. Now the fire, they're being exposed to it and presented before it in the day, in the morning and in the evening. And on the day of judgment, then admit them to the worst punishment. Meaning they're being punished now, and Yawm al-Qiyamah will be another punishment. The punishment of Jahannam. This ayah is clear that this is speaking about today. غُدُوًا وَعَشِيًّا. In the morning and in the evening. This is not in Jahannam, because the ayah afterwards speak about Jahannam. وَيَوْمَ. Then afterwards, when the hour is established, then admit al-Fir'aun to the most severest or the severest of torments. This is Surah Ghafir, Ayah 46.
وَمِنْ أَدِلَّةِ الْقُرْآنِ أَيْضًا قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى.
Among the evidences from the Quran,
وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الظَّالِمُونَ فِي غَمَرَاتِ الْمَوْتِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَاسِطُوا أَيْدِيهِمْ أَخْرِجُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ.
And if you can only see while the wrongdoers are at the agonies of death, and the angels have their hands stretched out, saying unto them, take your souls out. Bring your souls out. So the angels then will be addressing them. This is again after dying. This is at the moment of dying and afterwards.
وَهُمْ شَاحُونَ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ لَا يُرِيدُونَهَا أَن تَخْرُجُ.
And they will be misery concerning their own selves. They don't want the soul to leave. They don't want to die. This is the moment when they don't want to die.
لِأَنَّهُمْ قَدْ بُشِّرُوا بِالْعَذَابِ وَالْعُقُوبَةِ.
Because they have been given the news of punishment and torment.
فَتَجِدُ الرُّوحَ تَابَ الْخُرُوجِ.
You will find that their soul will refuse to leave the body.
وَلِهَذَا قَالَ أَخْرِجُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ الْيَوْمَ تُزَّوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونَ.
This is why it will be said to them, take yourselves out, take your souls out. Today you will be presented, or you will be rewarded with the degrading and humiliating punishment.
اليوم للعهد الحضوري كقوله تعالى اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم.
اليوم meaning now. Now اليوم meaning today. This is equal to the ayah اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم. Today meaning not any day, because you can say يوم a day. Al-Yawm is today, referring to a particular time frame. So the Shaykh said this Yawm that the angels will say now, yani now you will taste the punishment of humiliation. It means now, meaning this day. In the same way Allah said, this day I have perfected your religion, which was on the day of what? Day of Arafah. Beautiful.
يعني اليوم الحاضر وكذلك اليوم تزعون العهد الحضوري والمراد يوم حضور الملائكة لقبض أرواحهم.
So this is on the day then when the angels will be presented to claim their souls.
وهذا يقتضي أنهم يعذبون من حين أن تخرج أرواحهم.
And this requires, or this necessitates, that they are being punished from the moment their souls are extracted.
وَهَذَا هُوَ عَذَابُ الْقَبْرِ. And this is the punishment of the grave.
And of course you can all read Surah Al-Nazi'at. وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَ وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَ. The ulama, most of them, the interpretation of these ayat, there's a difference of opinion, that نَازِعَاتِ غَرْقَ are the angels which extract the soul in the most painful way. وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَ are the angels which extract the soul of the believer in the most gentle way. So all these are referring then to the punishment. ومن أدلة القرآن أيضا قوله تعالى الذين تتوفاهم الملائكة طيبين يقولون سلام عليكم ادخلوا الجنة وذلك في حال الوفاء. Among the evidences from the Quran is the statement of Allah, those whom the angels claim their souls, طيبين, they are in the state of piety and righteousness. يقولون, they will say it unto them, سلام عليكم, peace be unto you, ادخلوا الجنة, enter Jannah. And this will be also at the time of death. It will be said to them, enter Jannah. But will they really enter Jannah yet? No. So this is then what? Referring to the grave. Referring to the garden. We said Jannah is a garden from the garden. The grave is a garden from the gardens of Jannah. So they're not in Jannah per se. That's on Yawm al-Qiyamah. They see. And no, even they will get some of its blessings and bounties and good smell and good furniture.
Food.
Yeah. Furniture, I don't know about food. Don't worry, man. Man, thinking about food all the time, Ibn Muhammad, even speaking about the qabr right now. Allah yasulhak. ولهذا جاء في الحديث الصحيح يقال لنفس المؤمن اخرجي ايتها النفس الطيبه الى مغفره من الله ورضوان. Don't come hungry to my class next time, Allah yarda alayk. This way will be said to the believing soul, come out, O pure, good, pious soul, to the forgiveness of your Lord and His pleasure. This is what will be said to the righteous believer. فتفرح بهذه البشرى. So it will be delighted with this glad tidings. وتخرج منقادة سهلة. And it will come out easily. It will flow out of the body with major ease. وإن كان البدن قد يتألم لكن الروح منقادة مستبشرة. Even if the body is experiencing pain, the soul will be living in great ease. وَأَمَّا السُّنَّةِ as, and this is from the Quran. وَأَمَّا السُّنَّةِ فِي عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ وَنَعِيمٍ فَمُتَوَاتِرَةٌ. As for the evidence from the Sunnah concerning the punishment of the grave and delight, فَمُتَوَاتِرَة. What is mutawatira? It's a narration which has been narrated by so many people through all the various chain of narrators that it is impossible that this hadith is ضعيف. يعني it's so صحيح. It's a صحيح. يعني so many people through different chains from different people, all of them narrated the same hadith. It becomes mutawatir. Okay, if you hear this term, know what that means. يعني it's not, for example, there are some hadith which have a single chain. يعني from Umar ibn al-Khattab رضي عنه إلى فلان فلان to the imam who collected the hadith. A hadith of the mutawatir, meaning so many different people, so many different sahaba may be narrated from so many different chains. All of them agreed that this hadith was narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. يعني it's صحيح بلا شك. أي. ومنها ما ثبت في الصحيحين من حديث ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما. Among these narrations, the mutawatir narrations, is the hadith in Sahihain, in Bukhari and Muslim, on the authority of Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مر بقبرين. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stopped by two graves. فقال إنهما ليعذبان وما يعذبان في كبير. He said, verily they are being punished, and they are not being punished about something which was difficult to avoid. They're being punished for something which is not difficult to avoid. So here in hadith of Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, and you still have people denying the punishment of the grave. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked by them. He said, these two are being punished now, and they're being punished for something which was not difficult to avoid. What was it? Who knows? The book doesn't mention. What was the two crimes that these two?
Backbiting.
No, not backbiting.
Urine.
Not protecting oneself from urine during urination, after urination, negligence, no proper cleansing and cleaning, right? Istinja and istijmar, what have you? Mafi, yalla, ayy kalam, like the kuffar. Who did, you know, there's no such thing as washing or anything, inshallah, everything goes. No, not Muslim. The second thing is, you came close but not backbiting. What's backbiting's cousin? Gossiping. Namima. كان يمشي بالنميمة. He used to walk around people spreading gossip. It's also called tale-bearing. Tale-bearing. Both names are used to denote the or to render the Arabic word namima. Tail bearing, because bearing is carrying. Tail is story. Someone who carries, you know, Fulan said that, you know, you've done this, this and that. And then he goes to the other guy and say, you know, he says that you're a wicked person. And he causes conflict between the people by narrating stories, you know, evil stories, trying to cause fitna among the people. Backbiting is when someone is absent and you say something evil about them, which if they were to hear you, they would not be very happy about it. Of course, there are exceptions to the rule. Innovators, they don't hold the right to be protected from being backbitten, because the damage which they do to the deen requires that they are spoken about and warned against. Okay, so if you hear sometimes a person being mentioned, but not a person on the sunnah who made mistakes, okay, because that's extreme. But an innovator that we do not doubt his innovation, then this person, there's no such thing as backbiting him. Unless you try to be this evil. But if you're mentioning before the people to be careful of such and such person, then this is an obligation in the deen. Ad-deen al-nasiha. It's part of nasiha, part of advice, sincere advice to the Muslims. Ala kulli hal. Wa amma al-ijma. So far we dealt with the book of Allah, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there are more narrations the Shaykh didn't quote. Wa amma al-ijma, as for ijma, فكل المسلمين يقولون في صلاتهم أعوذ بالله من عذاب جهنم ومن عذاب القبر. Almost all Muslims say at the end of the salah, after the salat al-Ibrahimiyya, before the taslim, what do you say? Not the tashahud, the salat al-Ibrahimiyya.
اللهم إني أعوذ بك من عذاب القبر ومن عذاب جهنم ومن فتنة
الممات
What
did we say? نعوذ بك من عذاب القبر. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من عذاب القبر. Allah, I seek refuge with you from the punishment of the grave. Of course, it's no good if we've been saying this dua and not knowing what we're saying, right? Because that dua is not really effective if we don't know what we're saying. So the Shaykh said, look man, consensus of the Muslims, almost all Muslims make this dua at the end of the salah. How come? Because they believe there's a punishment in the grave. أعوذ بالله من عذاب جهنم نعم ولو أن عذاب القبر غير ثابت ما صح أن يتعوذ بالله منه. If it was not sound, if it wasn't affirmed in the deen, it wouldn't be correct for you to seek refuge with Allah from something which doesn't exist. إذ لا تعوذ من أمر ليس موجودا. There's no such thing as seeking refuge from something which doesn't exist. وهذا يدل على أنهم يؤمنون به. Then this reflects the fact that believers, Muslims, believe in the punishment of the grave. فإن قال قائل هل العذاب أو النعيم في القبر دائم أو ينقطع. If someone was to ask, is the punishment in the grave or the delight, is it continuous or does it come to an end, what would be the answer? الجواب أن يقال. The answer is to say, أما العذاب للكفار فإنه دائم. As for the punishment for the kuffar, it is eternal, continuous, it is uninterrupted. ولا يمكن أن يزول العذاب عنهم. It is impossible that punishment or torment will ever abandon them. It will never go away. لأنهم مستحقون لذلك, because they are deserving of it. ولأنه لو زال العذاب عنهم لكان هذا راحة لهم. And because if punishment was to be removed, even temporarily, then this means that there's a form of rest. They're being provided with some rest. وهم ليسوا أهلا لذلك, and they do not deserve that. They're not qualified for this kind of rest. As Allah said, فذوقوا فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا. Then taste, you will not be increasing anything except more torment and punishment. They will not be getting any rest. أُدْعُ رَبَّكَ لِيُخَفِّفْ عَنَّا يَوْمًا مِنَ الْعَذَابِ. And they will say, you know, ask, they will tell the angel, call on to Allah so He will only, lighten the punishment for one day, only one day. It will not be granted to them. يا مالك ليقضي علينا ربك قال إنكم ماكثون. They will say, oh Malik, let your Lord destroy us. He will say, no, verily you shall remain. You shall remain. So all of these attempts of theirs, so they can get some lightened punishment or some relief in any way, shape, or form, all of these will be rejected. Why? because they don't deserve anything but that. Why? Go see the crazy Hindus and the crazy Christians and the Buddhists. When someone for the sake of Allah worships a cow, and he believes a cow can benefit him or harm him, and he bows down to the cow, and he gets cow dung and cow urine, and he pours it on himself seeking blessings. How, what does this person, what else do you think he deserves? For who is Jahannam? For these individuals. This is the most feeble mind. Allah gave him an intellect, and you find him a big doctor. You find him a surgeon that if he were the, he's the top in the whole world, but he goes to a cow hoping that it will benefit him or harm him. And the Christians go to Jesus, and the list goes on. These individuals whom Allah gave intellect, He gave him sight, He gave him hearing, He gave him means of guidance, universal signs, ayat of the Quran, prophets were sent to them with revelation, conveying to the people. All these means were provided for hidayah. And when someone turns away from all of that and they choose deviance and misguidance, these are the people who deserve Jahannam. Now we're not speaking about those who did not receive the message of Islam. There are people who did not receive the message of Islam. Right now if a Qadiani, if an Ahmadi goes to some Hindus and he gives him da'wah to Islam, we cannot say that these people received the message of Islam. They didn't. And they are not considered yet. Yeah, we call them kuffar right now, but they're not among those who will be eternally in the hellfire until Allah will test them in the life to come. Why? They didn't receive the message of Islam. They received a distorted version of Islam. If a Qadian is going to tell him, well, you know, Ghulam Ahmad, he's the last prophet, and he's the Messiah, or whatever they come up with, that there are more prophets after Rasulullah, is this a deen of Islam? No, this is kufr and disbelief. So then it is necessary that these individuals whom we are speaking about are individuals who received the true message of Islam, it clicked in their brain, it made sense that Allah is the only object of worship, and yet deliberately turned away from all of that and remained kuffar. These are the ones who will deserve all that. Otherwise, there are people today who do not yet know about Islam, or the only thing they know about Islam is terrorism, or some, you know, other things, misconceptions. Their affair is with Allah. وَمَا كُنَّ مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. As Allah said in Surah Al-Isra, we were never to punish a group of people until a messenger has been sent to them. يعني a messenger who delivers the message. And this requires language. That means that they must understand it in their language. All these are prerequisites before we say all of these things. Otherwise you may say, "Akhi, but there are some people who really never really heard about Islam, and they think that what they're doing is correct." Say no. Yes, maybe they never heard about true Islam, but their fitrah tells them that you can't be worshipping an idol or a cow or a sun or a moon. This is in the fitrah, which Allah Azza wa Jal created in us. And He took that covenant from every son of Adam, as you see in Surah Al-Araf. أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. And Allah told each and every one of us, "Am I not your Lord?" And we said, "Yes." We bear witness. So this is something that Allah instilled by default in human beings. Anyone who goes against that is deliberately going against the fitrah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No excuse, yani. Just so you will know. عَلَى كُلِّ حَالِ. So then they will not get any relief. فَهُمْ بِاسْتِمْرَارٍ فِي عَذَابٍ إِلَى يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. They will remain continuously in the punishment until the day of resurrection. وَلَوْ طَالَتِ الْمُدَّةِ. Even if the time is prolonged. يعني so the people who died at the time of Nuh, they're being punished until now. And they will continue to be punished until يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. And then furthermore, it doesn't matter how it's the extension of time or the expansion of time. It makes no difference. It will continue. Oh, subhanAllah. فَقَوْمُ نُوحِ أَلَّذِينَ أُغْرِقُوا مَا زَالُوا يُعَذَّبُونَ فِي هَذِهِ النَّارِ الَّتِي أُدْخِلُوا فِيهَا. The people of Nuh remain to be punished in the fire in which they entered. Who knows the ayah which proves that? يَا جَمَعَةَ الْخَيْرِ. Now look at the Shaykh said, they are, those who drown are still being punished in the fire in which they entered. Now we know they drowned, but where did this idea that they entered the fire upon drowning? Where did it come from? No one has Surah Nuh memorized? No one has Surah Nuh memorized? A page and a half? إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ أَنْ أَنْذِرْ قَوْمَكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ مِمَّا قَطِيئَاتِهِمْ أُغْرِقُوا فَأُدْخِلُوا نَارًا فَلَمْ يَجِدُوا لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْصَارًا مِمَّا خَطِيئَاتِهِمْ Because of their sin, خَطِيئَة, their sin and disobedience, أُغْرِقُوا, they were caused to be drowned, فَأُدْخِلُوا نَارًا So they were entered and admitted into a fire. So even though they drowned in water, they were admitted into a fire. What's the evidence? The ayah in the book of Allah and Surah Nuh. So that's why the Shaykh said. So they've been burning ever since that day. That's been a long time, by the way. وَيَسْتَمِرُّ عَذَابَهُمْ إِلَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ And their punishment shall remain until the day of resurrection. وَكَذَلِكَ آلُ فِرْعَوْنَ وَيُعْرَضُونَ عَلَى النَّارِ غُدُوًا وَعَشِيًا Similarly, Al-Fir'aun, they are being presented to the fire in the morning and in the evening. وَذَكَرَ بَعْضُ الْعُلَمَاءِ أَنَّهُ يُخَفَّفْ عَنِ الْكُفَّارِ مَا بَيْنَ النَّفْخَتَيْنِ وَاسْتَدَلُّ بِقَوْلِ تَعَالَى قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا Some of the ulama said that the kuffar will get a short break. A very short break. When? Between the two nafqa. What is a nafqa? The blowing into the
trumpet.
The trumpet or the horn. You know how many three? How many nafqat they are altogether? Three. Altogether? Three nafqat. Between two of them, some of the ulama say the kuffar will be given a relaxation. Why? Because as they say, قالوا Surah Yaseen, قالوا من بعثنا من مرقدنا قالوا يا ويلنا من بعثنا من مرقدنا They say, woe to us, who has brought us out from Marqad? Marqad is like a place of rest, sleep, as if they were sleeping. ولكن هذا ليس بلازم. The Shaykh said, but this is not necessary. يعني this ayah doesn't really strongly suggest that they will get that break. لِأَنَّ قُبُورَهُمْ مَرْقَدْ لَهُمْ وَأَنْعُدُّبُ فِيهَا Because their graves is like a cradle for them. It's like their bedding, their bed, even if they're being punished. It's still called the marqad. So the fact that they said marqad does not necessitate that they were resting in there. So the Shaykh said that it doesn't have to be. So there will be no break for them. Not even between the two nafqatayn, even though this is an opinion that is held by some of the ulama. أَمَّا عُصَاتُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Now this was the first category was of who? The first category was of who? The kuffar. Now the disobedient believers. What will happen to them? الَّذِينَ يَقْضِ اللَّهُ تَعَالَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِالْعَذَابِ Those whom Allah decrees will have a share of the punishment. فَهَؤُلَاءِ قَدْ يَدُومُ عَذَابُهُمْ وَقَدْ لَا يَدُومُ Their punishment may continue or it may come to an end. Where? In the grave. وَقَدْ يَطُولُ وَقَدْ لَا يَطُولُ And it may be elongated and it may not be elongated or prolonged. حَسَبِ الذُّنُوبِ This is relevant or proportional or dependent on sins. وَحَسَبْ عَفْوِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ And it's also relevant and dependent on Allah's pardoning. So depending on how much sins, if a lot of sins, then the punishment may be continuous until يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ Then it will be another discussion on يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ Or it may come to an end. Or Allah's عَفْوُ may come. Or even the dua. This is why it is important to make dua for the deceased. Not make dua to the deceased. For the deceased. The Prophet ﷺ said, يعني إذا مات ابن آدم انقطع عمله إلا من ثلاث. When you die, when one dies, his deeds are cut off except from three sources. One of them, ولد صالح يدعو له. A righteous son or daughter in that case, calling, supplicating to Allah for them. Oh Allah, forgive my father, have mercy on him. This benefits the deceased. This is what benefits them. You don't read Quran, bring wallah 30 qari, you read juzu, and say we give hadiyah. Then we're going to give wallah the reward of recitation of the Quran to the deceased. No habibi. That's not going to benefit them. You don't do salah for them. and what have you. The best thing you can do is make dua for them. Even the sadaqah and the other things, the ulama say, the fact that it is allowed does not mean that you should do it. Prophet ﷺ simply approved people asking for that. He never encouraged it. He never said, make sure that when someone dies, go give sadaqah on their behalf, go do hajj on their behalf, go do umrah on their behalf. No, never. He never made that as a recommendation. However, when people came and said, is this okay? He said, yes. Uh-huh. But we don't make it a habit. If you really want to teach the people something, look, you want to do umrah for you. You need umrah. You need hajj. You see what I'm saying? Unless you're doing a hajj which they were unable to fulfill. But the hajj of tatawwu', the sadaqah, the voluntary one, yeah, you need it more. So that's what some of the ulama say, no. I've heard it many times from the fatawa. A person calls the sheikh, say, ya sheikh, my aunt, you know, she's done hajj or umrah, alhamdulillah, I want to do umrah on her behalf. The sheikh said, do umrah on your behalf. You need the deeds, man. Leave your aunt alone. You want to do good for her? Make dua for her. Some of the ulama give that fatwa. And you know,
charity also.
Same thing. It's allowed. But it's not something that you would say to the people, do it.
For benefit goes.
Inshallah. Because we have authentic narrations that sadaqah will benefit them, and that if they had a vow, you fulfill their nadhr, that would benefit them. If they had days they owed a fasting, then you can fulfill that. You can do that. This will benefit them, and hajj and umrah will benefit them, because we have authentic narrations, excluding the things I mentioned. Anything else? No. Okay. على كل حال. والعذاب في القبر أهون من عذاب يوم القيامة. Now the Shaykh saying the punishment in the grave is lighter, is easier than the punishment on the day of resurrection. لِأَنَّ الْعَذَابَ فِي الْقَبْرِ لَيْسَ فِيهِ خِزْيٌ وَلَا عَارٌ. Why? Because the punishment in the grave is not associated with humiliation and embarrassment. No one knows. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, people will be burning in the fire before other people. And people will be called out عَلَى رُؤُوسِ الْأَشْهَادِ. Amongst all people, Fulan ibn Fulan, he will come and he will be exposed, you know, amongst the people. But in the qabr, no one knows what's happening. So there's no embarrassment, there's no humiliation. لكن في الآخرة فيه الخزي والعار. But in the life to come, there's humiliation and embarrassment. لأن الأشهاد موجودة, because the witnesses are available. إنا لننصر رسولنا والذين آمنوا في الحياة الدنيا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, verily we shall inevitably, definitely grant victory to our messengers and those who believe in this worldly life, and on the day where the witnesses will be brought, the witnesses will be brought, they will be present. So again, referring that the fact these things will happen before people on the day of judgment. Not before as in the preposition here, before meaning in front of, like you stand before the king. A. فإن قال قائل لو أن هذا الرجل تمزق أوصالا وأكلته السباع وذرته الرياح فكيف يكون عذابه وكيف يكون سؤاله. If a person was to question, what if this person was chopped into pieces and he was eaten by predators, predator animals, and he was, you know, blown away by the wind, how would his punishment be? And how would his questioning be? فَالْجَوَبْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. You say the answer, Allah is able to do all things. But be careful when you use this term with the Christians. Be careful when you use it with the Jews, Christians, Hindus, because they will say, okay, you say Allah is able to do all things? You say, yeah. They say, okay, so what's the big deal that God became a man? What's wrong with that? Why you deny that God is that statue over there? You said God can do anything. And no, we believe that God became Jesus. Oops! You're in trouble. So what do you have to add? Say, Allah is able to do all things, but Allah is also all wise. And He only does things which are based on His wisdom. Furthermore, He only does things which are consistent with Him being God. If you're going to say God is going to do something that makes Him other than God, then this is impossible, because we no longer have a God. And saying that God became man makes Him man. He's no longer God. This is impossible. So God is able to do all things which are consistent with Him being God and based on His ultimate wisdom. Otherwise, they will come with all kinds of nonsense. Well, how come this? And then God can do this and God can do that. No, He can't. And not in this sense. Because if you say God became un-God or not God, then what happened then? How did we come into existence? You see what I'm saying? This is philosophy. And be careful of philosophers.
Does things which befit his majesty.
Beautiful. That's even a better way to put it. He does things which befit His majesty. Ahsant. طيب. وهذا أمر غيبي. So Allah is able to do all things. And this is from the matters of the unseen. فالله عز وجل قادر على أن يجمع هذه الأشياء في عالم الغيب. في عالم الغيب. Allah is able to bring all these things together in the world of the unseen. It's something that you don't see. You don't have to see it. Allah will bring a person who's been shredded into small pieces. He will bring him together. But it's, do you see it? No, it's in the unseen. Isn't Allah able to do all things? Did He not create you from a sperm? Is He not going to bring everyone back to their original creation on the day of resurrection? طيب. If He's able to do it, if He did it already, and He's going to do it again, what's the problem with Him doing it now? And you see plans growing every day. It's a manifestation of Allah's khalq. Subhanallah al-Azim. وإن كنا نشاهدها وإن كنا نشاهدها في الدنيا متمزقة متباعدة لكن في عالم الغيب ربما يجمعها الله. So even though we see it shredded and chopped up into pieces, but in the world of the unseen, perhaps Allah Azza wa Jalla will bring this body together. You don't know. We don't know what happens. Allah is able to do all things. فانظر إلى الملائكة إلى الملائكة تنزل لقبض روح الإنسان في المكان نفسه. He says, look at the angels coming down to claim the soul of the person in the same place. كما قال تعالى ونحن أقرب إليه منكم ولكن لا تبصرون ومع ذلك لا نبصرهم. And Allah said, and we are closer to Him than you, but you do not see, and truly we do not see. So Allah is able to have angels right there closer to the one dying than you are, and you may be sitting right next to him on the bed, but you don't see him. So this is from the unseen. Allah is able to do all things. وملك الموت يكلم الروح ونحن لا نسمع. The angel of death will speak to the soul, come out, and you don't hear either. We don't hear any of that. وجبريل يتمثل أحيانا للرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وعليه الصلاة والسلام. And sometimes Jibreel will come to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the form of a man. ويكلمه بالوحي في نفس المكان. And he speaks to him and he brings revelation to him in the same place. والناس لا ينظرون ولا يسمعون. And the Sahaba standing there, none of them can see and none of them can hear. فعالم الغيب لا يمكن أبدا أن يقاس بعالم الشهادة. This is the point. The world of the unseen can never be compared and understood in the light of the worldly life. They're not the same. Everything is different. وهذه من حكمة الله عز وجل. This is part of Allah's wisdom. سبحانه وتعالى. فنفسك التي في جوفك ما تدري كيف تتعلق ببدنك. This soul of yours, which is inside your body, you don't know how, what is the nature of the attachment to the body. Really? How is the soul there? Does it flow? Does it look like the body? And it's like, you know, perfect fit? What is the essence of the soul? وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. The people wondered, what is this, the essence of the ruh? They ask you about the ruh, say the ruh is from the command of my Lord. No one knows. وَمَا أُوتِيتُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. You've been given of knowledge, but little. So, you know, how does the soul work? And how is a body suddenly dead? When the soul is taken out, the same person who is alive no longer moves. How did the soul leave? How? What is the reality of the soul? Is it in your brain? Is it in your heart? Is it in your whole body? Where is it? Allahu Ta'ala A'lam. So this is, you know, this is the unseen. كيف هي موزع على البدن وكيف تخرج منك عند النوم. And this, you know, the soul leaves when you sleep. And it remains attached to the body, then it returns. هل تحس بها عند استيقاظك بأنها ترجع. Do you feel your soul returning when you wake up? No. ومن أين تدخل لجسمك. And how does it enter your body again? through your nose, through your ears, through your mouth. Allahu Ta'ala A'lam. So you find that the life of the unseen is nothing close to the worldly life. طيب فعالم الغيب ليس فيه إلا التسليم. The life or the world of the unseen, the only position we have concerning it is submission. Allahu A'lam. We submit to Allah. We believe. Amanna. ولا يمكن فيه القياس إطلاقا. You can never then compare it by analogy to this worldly life. فالله عز وجل قادر على أن يجمع هذه المتفرقات من البدن المتمزق الذي ذرته الرياح ثم يحصل عليه المسألة العذاب أو النعيم لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى على كل شيء قدير. The Sheikh is summarizing again. Then Allah is able to bring the body and again bring it to account and ask it. It will be asked by Munkar and Nakir. Then it will be punishment or be grave. Verily Allah is able to do all things. فإن قال قائل الميت يدفن في قبر ضيق فكيف يوسع له مد البصر. If someone said, Ya akhi, the dead person is buried in a very tight space. It's not really very spacious. How are you saying that it will be expanded to the extent of his eyesight? Because the hadith mentions, that his grave will be expanded as much as his eyes can see. How far can you see? Well, you can see pretty far, man. If you stand on a valley, on a mountain, or on a hill, or even on a flat surface, and you look in, you see pretty far, right? His grave will be that far. So someone say, how is that? They know the grave is, 3 feet or something, and you saying that. فالجواب أن عالم الغيب لا يقاس بعالم الشهادة. عالم الشهادة. The life of the world of the unseen is not compared to the worldly life. They're not the same. بل إننا لو فرض أن أحد حفر حفرة مد البصر ودفن فيها الميت وأطبق عليه التراب فالذي لا يعلم بهذه الحفرة هل يراه أو لا يراها؟ لا شك أنه يراها مع أن هذا في عالم الحس ومع ذلك لا يرى هذه الساعة ولا يعلم بها إلا من شاهدها. Because if the Sheikh said, if we were to make a big grave for someone, huge grave as far as you can see, and we bury someone, do the people up on the earth, can they see that? They cannot see that. So then the Sheikh saying, if you're on top, you cannot see that, then how would only the one there will be able to know then? طيب, the Sheikh will continue, but I don't want to hold some of you up to pray in your local masjid back. But we only have a few paragraphs left, and then we'll be beginning with Al-Qiyam Al-Kubra, the resurrection. But I guess we can continue, inshallah. Let me just summarize it. So if a person says, if we look at the deceased or the dead a few days after the burial, we don't find that his ribs have intertwined, because we said that the grave will become tight, it will be tightened until the ribs intertwine, they'll go into each other. He said, we don't see that. What is the answer? Same answer. Do not compare the life in the barzakh to the worldly life. And it is possible that it used to be, and by the time you open it, Allah returned everything. You don't know. Allahu A'lam about the reality of these things. If one of the philosophers said, okay, we can skip that. The bottom line is, you have to believe in all of that. We have to believe and submit. And the Sheikh struck many other examples. Ala kulli hal, the bottom line is, we believe in that, and we do not compare the life to come to the worldly life. Inshallah ta'ala, next week we'll be dealing with Fasl fil Qiyamati al-Kubra, the chapter on the great resurrection. And now we move from the dunya to the grave, then to the resurrection. And with this, inshallah, we conclude our dars. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.